Okay, so we've been doing a series on the book of James. Everybody say book of James. Now, I've been here now. It's going to be 15 years that I've been here, and this has only happened once before. Okay? You guys want to know what that is? Okay? It's the first time that James, that LeBron will be speaking on James. Okay? LeBron will be speaking on James. Not a Cleveland fan or whatever, right? Amen. So, okay, now that you gotten a little loose, okay, we've been doing this series, okay, the book of James. And how many have enjoyed the book of James? Okay. Now, most of the time, the way that parents say to their kids when they get home, a lot of parents come up and they say, Tommy, did you have fun in school today? Anybody ever hear that before? Did you have fun in school today? Well, you know, I never have fun in school today. I don't know about you guys. I have fun three times in school. It was lunch, gym, and when I'm on my way home. Anybody there with me? Those are the only time I have fun in school. So I'm not going to ask you, have you been having fun or have you been enjoying the book of James? I want to ask you, have you learned anything from the book of James? Raise your hand if you learned something. Amen. All right. So you will be getting your certificates pretty soon. But what, you know, we either learn or stuff that was confirmed on the book of James. And one thing that we know for sure is that the Apostle Paul actually, you know, he testified that James, okay, was Jesus' brother. Isn't that awesome? Okay, James is Jesus' little brother. Anybody have a little brother? A big brother? Okay, all right, so we learned that, you know, James says that, and I'll give you these verses and chapters, and then you got to do it when you get home. Open up your Bible. Pastor Greg always says, you know, bring your Bible, check us out. So I just want to give you a little stuff that's on the side. Everybody say, on the side. Now what we're going to be talking about. But one thing that we know is that the Apostle Paul did confirm in John 7:4, it says, in Galatians 1:18-19, is where it says Pastor Paul, okay, confirms it. And he says, and then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. And I stayed with him for 15 days. And the only other apostle I saw at the time was James, the Lord's brother. Everybody say the Lord's brother. Okay, so that was his bro, right? Everybody say that was his bro. Okay, and the other thing is that, one thing is that his brothers and even James, they didn't believe in him. Could you believe that? That Jesus is your brother and you don't believe in him? They didn't believe, you know, man. It's like, it's kind of hard. I could just imagine in that house what it must have been like. You know, when mom told Jesus, Jesus, did you take care? Already did that. Jesus, did you? I already did that. Because he already knew what? He already knew the thoughts, right? That's Jesus. So just imagine trying to compete against that. Okay? And then another thing that we also can either affirm or that we learn is that, I mean, his brother, sometimes his family thought he was out of his mind. Could you imagine somebody thinking that Jesus is out of his mind? Okay, in Mark 3:20, I'm not making this up. Write it down. You got to do a study on yourself. It says, one time Jesus entered a house and the crowds began to gather again. And soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. When his family heard, if I say heard, what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said, okay? So just check those things out just to make sure that you've been learning something. Everybody say learn. Okay, now, like I said, one of the things that I find interesting in this whole James thing is that Jesus has brothers, you know what I'm saying? And what must it have been like? Now, I have a brother. I have siblings. So I know that sometimes it could be kind of complicated, okay? Okay, usually when you have brothers that are born almost at the same time, okay, with the girls it's kind of cute, but with the boys it's like who's who, right? Who's who? My brother was born September 4th. I was born September 15th. And like for 6 days, it was like battle royal at the house. It was battle royal, okay? It was like, we're going to find out who's who. And I got a picture of my brother up there. Is he up there real quick? Boom, okay? All right, take it off so it won't be distracting. Okay, so the thing is this. I remember one time asking him, hey, why did you take up boxing? And he said, the reason I took up boxing is because I wanted to beat you up. Could you imagine? Everybody say, wrong motive. It's the wrong motive. Okay, so now that we got that out the way, okay, but one thing I can say for sure is this, that when James finally came to his senses, everybody say, came to his senses, and he actually believed that Jesus was who he said he was, okay? It was after the resurrection. Jesus died, Once he came back again, I will believe too. Somebody come back from the dead, I'm going to believe, right? But I can really see it when he writes the book of James, when he starts off in the first chapter, and he says, and I got a few different verses of it, but I like this one that says, this letter is from James, a slave. Could you imagine your brother saying that? A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of confirms, right? That he said who he believed that he was who he said he was. So everybody say side note. Okay, so now let's get ready. Everybody say get ready. Now, and I'm just going to give you a little play-by-play. Everybody say play-by-play. Those that are here for the first time, this normally doesn't go on Friday. We have Pastor Greg doing an awesome job. Everybody say awesome job. Okay, so it was mid-June. Everybody say mid-June. Okay, and then we were having on Tuesdays, we normally have our staff meetings. It's what we do, it's what happens behind the scenes, and the staff is all there, and all the big guys are there, and we're sitting down, all the pastors are there, and we're going over, you know, who came and visitors, and we're praying for this person, and we're praying for that. But there's a part in the service, there's this one part of the service where we go down the road, and then every pastor is going to say what's coming up in his ministry. Okay, so at the time, we went all around the table, and then the last one is the big eagle. Who's the big eagle? Pastor Greg's the big eagle. So when it came his turn, he said to us, to the whole team there, this summer, I'm going to be doing a series on the book of James. And we were like, yes. And then he said, so when we finish this meeting, you're going to check your Dropbox because I've assigned everyone something they're going to be speaking on. And it went from yay to, oh, this got real quick. Because see, when he said he was going to, how many are glad when they're here and they hear Pastor Greg just break it down, amen? You get fed. When you leave out of here, you're like obese. You know what I'm saying? You get so much word in you that you leave out of here and you need to go to the gym spiritually, correct? So when he said he was going to do that, I'm figuring I'm going to take notes. I'm going to be writing my notes down. And then when he said everybody's going to do something, I'm like, oh, it got real. The struggle got real quick, correct? So I said, you know what? For those that don't know, okay, the book of James have 5 chapters, right? So I figured 5 chapters, you know, I mean, how hard can that be, right? Piece of cake. So I looked around the room and I'm looking at my other pastors and everybody that's there. And I said, okay, so since I'm the oldest, he'll probably give me the first one. And the first one on chapter 1, it talks about the mirror. Talks about the mirror. And I'm like, yeah, I could go there. I could definitely go there. When he says, if anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, it's like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I said, I could do that. I could definitely do that. I was even thinking of bringing him a prop of maybe Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. I mean, it's like I was there. I was going there. And then I said, well, you know what? But maybe he'll give me chapter 2. Chapter 2 is part, you know, the show me. I'm going to bring a big Arkansas license plate, show me state. You know what I'm saying? I figured, you know, I'm just going to go down that route. Okay? I like when he says in chapter 2, when he says, I will show you my faith by my good deeds. I said, I could do this. And then I said, well, you know what? Maybe he'll skip all that and give me chapter 3 on the tongue. A congregation of 500 people, whoa, we can do a series on the tongue only. I like when it says in James 3, 7 through 8, it says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish, but no one, everybody say no one, can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. I said, I could definitely do that one. You know, so I'm getting all excited which one is going to be. And then I said, but you know what? He knows I'm prior military, so he's probably going to give me chapter 4 on resist. Resist. You know, military, all that stuff, resist, stop, hold, and all this good stuff. And you know, I love the way it says, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm like, yeah, I could definitely do that. So, you know, I'm the meeting is going on, and this is all going on in my head, okay? And so what I do is I wait till after I leave. And when it was time to leave, I go right into my computer and I check it out and I open up the Dropbox and I look down the line. And then it says, Pastor Raphael, okay, chapter 5. The power of prayer. I said, so now I'm talking to God now. I'm saying, are you kidding me? The power on a Sunday morning? The power of prayer? I said, Lord, when Jesus took his boys to the garden, they fell asleep when he told them to pray for an hour. There's some people here right now yawning on just the title, The Power of Prayer. You know, and so I'm saying, God, you have a sense of humor. And then of all the pastors, me, on the power of prayer. You know, I mean, it's like I can't stand still. You know the poem, but it says you need to go in your closet. I can't do that. I'll feel claustrophobic in the closet. I need to do my prayer as I'm walking, as I'm cutting the grass. I just can't stand still. Anybody there? Or am I the only one? There you go. Honesty. Everybody, let it out. Yeah, that's me too. That's me. So I'm saying, man, Lord, you have a sense of humor. And it's like that quiet voice said, I do have a sense of humor, but I don't make mistakes. I have a sense of humor, but I don't make mistakes. It's not a mistake that you are a sign to the power of prayer. So I'm saying, everybody say focus. You know, so I said, okay, so God, so what would you want me to bring to your people? He said, no, not just your people, you too. Okay, what would you like me to bring to your people and to me also? And it's like, he's laying it in my heart, and it's about how or who would want to have power in prayer. Anybody want to have power in prayer? I want to have power in prayer. I want to have power in prayer. The power that I want to have in prayer is that if I go anywhere and I see somebody roll up on a wheelchair, that I'll be bold enough to go to that person and pray for them to get up. I want that power. That's what I want. I'm not concerned that they know who I am or what denomination or whatever. It's just that's what Christ said. So that's the power that I want. So who wants that? So I said, okay, all right. Okay, God, I got this. And if that's what's going to happen, and I'm going to just be real, okay? Because I'm not there yet. Are you guys there yet? Because if you're there yet, you can come up here and teach me because I'm not there yet. But you know what? We need to get there together. Everybody say together. So you got Jesus, right? He's the big brother. And then you got James. And what I love about James is that he writes 5 chapters. And in those 5 chapters, he goes to the Old Testament 4 times. It's like he almost did 5 for 5. And he does that because he's just like his brother. See, Jesus always referred to the Old Testament. Whenever somebody came and he said, haven't you heard? It was written. You know, the reason that us Christians read the Old Testament is because Jesus read the Old Testament. And we do what he says and we do what he does. So I'm saying, okay, so on the subject of prayer, if I say prayer, okay, if you're yawning, you need to stand up. Okay, on the power of prayer and on the subject of prayer, okay, there's a verse in the Bible when Jesus, his disciples come up to him and they say, teach us how to pray. Because they see that from time to time, he just disappears and he prays. Now, I don't know how long he took, but he prayed. So, he says, when you pray, this is what you say. Our Father, come on, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive as we who trespass. Temptation. Amen. I mean, you guys sounded like just like a Catholic church. Awesome. 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 But listen, Jesus, he told us what to say. James, I think, goes a little deeper. And he gives us almost like a play-by-play, a step-by-step on how to get power in prayer. So who wants to go on the step-by-step with me? We're here already. You might as well. You're going to go with it regardless, right? Okay, so everybody, let's just look at the book of James, chapter 5. And I'm saying, like, we can do this. We can definitely do this on a Sunday. Nobody falling asleep yet, right? Ushers, if they fall asleep, you know what to do. Okay, so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, God, so how are we going to do this? Okay, let's take it step by step. Okay, Jesus told us what to say. James is saying, because that's what James said. James said, listen, you need to move. For him, it's like, you told me you have faith, you got to do something. You know, and you know, I could imagine him and the Apostle Paul butting heads. Because the Apostle Paul is saying grace. And James is saying, you got to do something. He's saying grace. He's saying, you got to do something. You know what? You have to have grace to do something. Put them together, right? So, here we go. James chapter 5. Okay, here we go. Starting on 13. Is it up there? We don't have to. Okay, that's my picture up there. You notice the haircut? You see it from there. Okay, let's focus. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord, everybody say the Lord, will make you well, not the elder, not the oil. We get kind of distracted. It's not the oil. Well, this is the wrong kind of oil. Oh, that elder, I haven't seen him in church for a while. No, it's not the elder. It's not the oil. It's what? Who is it?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, do we have anybody that committed any sins? Remember, you're in church. Raise your hand. Don't lie. If you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's a slam dunk. I got this. It's too easy. It's like 5 for 5, right? Are you suffering hardship? You should pray. We can do this, right? Okay. Are you happy? Sing song. We just did that in praising. Some of you sound great. Some of you need to take some lessons, but we're good. We're all good. Okay? Are any of you sick? Okay, you should call the elders. It's not even about you. You call the elders of the church, okay, to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. It's a home run. Okay, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And it says, and if you committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. It's like, are you serious right now? Any sins? And then it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Wow. It's like, I'm on top of the world. And that's how we feel sometimes. We come on Sunday, we come feeling all depressed, and we're feeling all terrible about the week, and I said this, and then Pastor Greg will get up here, and he'll give you a sermon that'll just get you going, and you're here, right? But then the thing about it is, you got to read the whole, everybody say, read the whole thing. And this is the part right here. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer. Right now, I just came down to where you guys are at. I went from 5 for 5, and now this one here, I feel knocked me out of the box. Because righteous. Well, for how long? I mean, for a day? I could be righteous for a day, maybe a half a day. Righteous. And right there, as soon as we see that, as soon as we hear that, we feel, I can't do that. But James knew that. Everybody say, James knew that. James knew that. And he says, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Whew, 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. You're like, I went from down there, I'm back up here again. Oh, you heard that? Okay, I'm just like Elijah, a man like a man. Okay, but then before you get back into your car, the voices come. If I say voices, and the voices, I'm up here because it says I'm just like Elijah, I'm like a man just like Elijah. The voices come up and you go, really? You're like Elijah? Seriously, you understand that Elijah was like the prophet of prophets. Elijah was the man. Elijah was like the Michael Jordan of the prophets. I'm trying to make sure that you guys can relate to how awesome this guy was. So you're saying that you are like him. Well, that's what Pastor Greg said when he did his sermon. Really, you're like him. You are like him. Okay, when Jesus goes up to the mount where this he's being transformed, all of a sudden, his boys are there, and they look up, and they see Jesus, Moses, and you're like that, Elijah. Well, maybe not like that one. Okay, John the Baptist shows up to the scene with his crazy clothes, and he's got this diet going on. And when he comes up, people come up and ask him all the time. And it says in John 1:19, it says that he did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, then who are you? Are you? Nah, I'm not that one. Oh. Okay, Jesus now, okay? Jesus is about the third hour. It's about 3 p.m. This is in Matthew 27. It's about 3 p.m, and Jesus cries out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, is he calling? You're like that guy? Nah, not even that guy. Oh, when the first Uber, anybody drive Uber before? Get on Uber. When the first Uber showed up in the Bible, okay? Okay, the first Uber. This is in 2 Kings, okay? The first Uber, okay? And then it says like this. Then it happened as they continue on and talk, Elijah and Elisha, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire separating the two of them and went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Are you like that, Elijah? I guess I'm not. And see, what happens is, if we want to get the power of prayer by comparison, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Because I might have been able to be like Elijah in many ways, but I know that I missed all the marks there. But then the thing is this, that you are like Elijah. We are like Elijah. Because it says that Elijah, okay, he hungered. He got hungry from time to time. There's a part there when he's talking to the widow. The widow's giving him water. She's walking away, and she says, hey, at the same time, can you bring me some bread? He's hungry. Hungry. Everybody say hungry. Okay? Elijah would get afraid. He was afraid. He was afraid. When he got the text from Jezebel, I'm going to get you. I saw what you did to the prophets. I'm going to get you. Okay? He ran into the hills. So he was hungry and he was afraid. Everybody say, I've been hungry before. I've been afraid before. And then he was also, from time to time, he was depressed. It says in 1 Kings that he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. So can we relate to Elijah now? So the thing is, we can't go by if he does good or if he doesn't do good. But there's one thing that you have to recognize when we're talking about James on how to get the power of prayer. Say, power of prayer. See, to get the power of prayer, even the world understands that you have to come clean. You got to come clean. And the AA and NA, they have these 12 steps. And what's amazing about that group is that they're the world. And they know that you have to sit in a circle and you have to get up and say, you know what, my name is John and I'm an alcoholic. There's something about coming clean. The fifth step on the 12th step is admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. That's where the power of prayer is, in coming clean, in coming clean. It says, he focuses, and if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Jesus is the big brother, and he focuses on this. And James is just like him. Jesus shows up in a place, a house. It's crowded. All the big wigs, the Pharisees, all the guys, all the ones that know the law and religion, they're all there sitting next to him, right there, nice. And he's teaching, he's speaking. Everywhere, anytime he shows up, the place is packed. Some of them are going there to critique. Some of them are like, I wonder what he's going to do this time. I wonder who's going to heal. I wonder if the demons are going to come out. I wonder. They're all there. They're all there. And he said that as he's sitting there, there's a group of guys that come, and there's a man that his body can't move. And they look, and they want to get him in there. See? They didn't stay outside. They did like James said. They had faith. And they said, we can't go this way. We're going through the top. We're going through the top. So I could just imagine he's teaching and he's just giving them the law. And this is what the law says. And I've come and the blind will see. He's just being Jesus. And all of a sudden he's probably sitting and then this dust starts to come out. And when dust starts coming out, a body, could you imagine, just picture a body is lowered down. Just imagine right now a body coming down. Imagine Carlos, one of my youth, the body of Carlos coming down right in front of me. I'll get out the way, but the body coming down in front of me. And he looks at him. And he says that he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Are people seeing your faith? At work, do people see your faith? Or do you have to get up on the soapbox and let them know, I'm a Christian and I'm against that? Or are they seeing your faith? Are they seeing your faith? And he looks at this body that can't even move. And his boys are like, he's going to do it. We got front seats. You know what shocked me sometimes? To come into this house and see these front seats empty. Because I know that some of us were in a rock concert, we'd be over here. We'd be over here. And then here where you're in a place, okay, because this is the part I love right here, that he says, let me get my notes over here. Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He says that they were in a place where they can get healed. They were in a spot to get healed. They were where they had to get to be to get healed. And yet, some of us come Sunday to Sunday and we sit in places where, you know what? I come to the house and the man of God is speaking. I want the sweat to hit me because you know what? That sweat could probably heal me. I don't know. I'm going to be that childlike to believe it, that it's going to happen. So here he is, standing there, and he looks at him and he says that he saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And I imagine his boys must have said, wait a minute, whoa, we just went through this. We probably got to pay this man for his roof. And all you're going to do is say that his sins are forgiven? That's not what we came for. I didn't come for that. That's not what I came for. But you got to come clean. And he knew that this man needs to be delivered from his sins. And a lot of us here have never even confessed that. A lot of us have not even admitted that there is something we got to bring up. And I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. Because you know what? Like I said, the last chapter that I wanted to hit was chapter 5. I wanted, give me the tongue, give me everything else, but the power of prayer, I didn't want that one. And as I was getting ready for that, there were things that I had to do. There were things that I had to do. And I was going to visit my cousin that I haven't seen for over 20 years, maybe 25 years. I haven't seen her for over 25 years. I went to see because my aunt is, she's a little bit, you know, it's that age where she's forgetting stuff. When I went to visit her, she knew who I was. By the time I left, she was like, whose cousin are you? It's okay. I took advantage when she knew who I was. And I told my cousin, I came here for 3 reasons. The first one is I needed to see my aunt. And the second one is that I had to ask you for forgiveness. And he was like, what are you asking me for forgiveness for? And I said, you know what? I remember being 14 years old. I was 14 years old in the projects on the Lower East Side in Manhattan. And I remember buying a joint. And I remember going to my cousins and saying, hey, we gotta try this. 14, 13, 12, 11. All 4 of us, best cousins in the world. Lost. And I said to him, listen, I had to tell you that I'm sorry that I did that. Because I look now 30 or 40 years later and I see the mess that happened with that. I seen the mess that happened with us. Because see, some can do that and walk away. But some just get there. And I said to him, I'm sorry that I did that. I came clean. And he's not there yet. You know, he's still lost. And you know what he tells me? He says, Ralph, where we grew up, in the culture that we were in, it was going to happen. And he says, and if I was going to do it with anybody, I loved you. You were my cousin. And I said, but that doesn't make it right. That did not make it right. And I need you to forgive me. And he said, are you kidding me? I forgive you. So have we been there? Have we come back clean? Because you know what? It's until you don't take care of that, he can't tell you, pick up your mat and go home. And as long as you don't come clean, you'll be coming here year after year after year after year with your mat and people having to carry you out. But when you come clean, he'll tell you, you can get up, you can take your mat, and you can walk, because that's what Jesus' whole intention was, to come clean, because he knew there is something that's going to keep you back. Come clean. Come clean. A letter that I had to hand over. I had to bring a letter. Got a phone call from mom, from my sister. Told me, Ralph, mom, it's about that time. She's been stage 4 cancer for the last 4 years. And it's getting close to that time. And as I'm getting ready to go, ready to do this, my daughter calls me and says, hey, dad, you need to give this letter to grandma. I say the power of forgiveness. And I remember going there. When I got there, I wanted to surprise her. You know how you want to surprise her? I would surprise her. She surprised me. When I walked into that room and I saw that body, if she weighed 90 pounds, soaking wet. I got this letter that I got to give, and I kind of know what's in it. And I'm saying, God, she's saved. She's going to heaven. And he said, you need to be obedient. you need to give that letter. You need to put that letter in her hands. So I waited for the right time, translated it in Spanish, had my sister read it to her. And as she read it to her, and I won't get into details on the letter, but there were three things that could stand to offer. There were three things in that letter. The letter started off with, "Grandma, I love you. I love you. There's nothing that will ever change how I feel about you. I love you." And then, I don't know why you didn't stop what was going on, because you could have. I'll never understand that. But I want to tell you that I forgive you. Forgive you. And when she heard those words, it was like a load just fell off. And the tears just started coming. She couldn't stop. And then she looked at me and she said, "Ralph, I've been praying for this day to come for a long time." See, James, he finishes it off when he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away," he wasn't talking to strangers, he's talking to the church, he's talking to us. He was talking to my mother in the church. "My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins." See, my mom, listen, the enemy is not going to back off when you're on your dying bed. He's not going to say, "Okay, he's out." No, he's going to come at you with all the force. And I know he was coming at her in her mind. And she had never come clean. She had never confessed. But you know what? The prayer of that young lady and getting that letter over to that side, it stopped the wandering. There was no more wandering. It was a relief. And a lot of us here come Sunday after Sunday. You got that burden because you have not come clean. And if you want power in prayer comes with confessing your sins one to another so that you may be healed from your mind, your heart, your family, your marriage. It's the only way that it's going to get healed. You have to come clean. And I listen, we cannot at the Mission Church be more transparent. I mean, you need to walk away from here and say, "I can do that. I can do that." And that's what he's saying. So as she starts to sing, talk about walking around those walls, some of you need to walk up. And you, today, you don't have to say, confess to nobody. But you need to step. You need to, James says, you need to move. You need to do something. I call all my cousins and told them. And they're like, "Dude, that was so long ago." And I'm like, "It doesn't matter." I call my children. I call my son. I call my daughter and say, "Sorry for exposing you. Sorry for opening up that door." They go, "Dad, are you kidding me? Are you kidding?" "No, listen, yeah, but Dad, but we had a choice." "Yeah, but I put that choice in front of you. It's my fault. And I come clean." So today, you need to come clean. Just bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that there's a place that we can just be us. We can just be us. And Lord God, we don't understand everything, but what we do understand, we need to do something about it. So right now, if there's anybody here, anyone, and you know you need to come up. You need to come up. So as she sings, as she starts speaking, and you know, it's funny because
This song was in my heart from this morning. And I knew that Pastor Chris was not going to be here. And I'm like, well, they got their own set. What are the odds that that song that she's doing today is the very song that God had put in my heart for today? It's no coincidence.